Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably? I don't know. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Maybe? Joining me, as always, as you heard right there, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Now, Rob, we're bringing the show to people a day late. Part of that is because we wanted to see all the information from the now infamous Carabao Cup. Don't know why it isn't just the League Cup anymore, but there you go. I mean, I do know why. It's because they got sponsored by Carabao. But that to the side, there's a lot of information that we have now based on who played in all these matches. As of earlier today, the players that are like at least somewhat fantasy relevant that have played at least 60 minutes are Jordan Ibe, Junior Stanislas, Patrick Van Aanholt, Mamadou Sakho, Andros Townsend, Elias Kachunga, Mark Albrighton, Ben Chilwell, who I think is really interesting, might touch on him a little bit later, Jorginho Wijnaldum, George Gomez, Joe Gomez, Marco Arnautovic, Andre Ayew, Alfie Mawson, Wilfried Bony, Heung-Min Son, Dele Alli, Jan Vertonghen, Kieran Trippier. Those are all the ones from yesterday. Today, for Chelsea, players that played more than 60 minutes, Hazard, pretty much Fabregas on 56, Bakayoko, Rudiger, Christensen, Cahill, Zappa Costa. I'm going to take a quick break here because, hey, I just read you infinite names. Feel free to go back in time to figure out that stuff. For you, just because you know a lot about Chelsea, are you thinking that these big-name players playing means that they won't play at the weekend? Or, like, specifically Hazard playing 90 minutes, that was checking his fitness?
For Hazard, I think it was definitely a fitness check to see if he could go a full 90. We saw glimpses of him in a few games where he got, you know, throwaway minutes, where he was basically checking in and checking out, and basically not being anything relevant for fantasy. Defensive-wise, I think they were trying to do something a little bit different. This is the first time, I believe, that that grouping have played together in a match, which is interesting because there is no David Luiz this week. He is suspended. So it's interesting to see. I think maybe he was tinkering to see how well they played together, that grouping together. I'm not really concerned. I think that, you know, just because they played full minutes today doesn't mean that they're going to, you know, sit on the weekend, because we can speculate here all day. And all we really want to know is if they're going to play, how many points, and in the fantasy relevant, how well they're going to do for us. That's all we care about, because this is a fantasy show. I mean, yes, we care about soccer and football and whatever you want to call it. But I'm just saying, like, we won't know. We're just guessing. We're speculating. You know, a lot of this is about fitness, and these guys are, you know, some of the fittest athletes on the world. So them going, you know, 90 minutes on a Wednesday afternoon and then turning around and going 90 minutes on a Saturday is not something that isn't out of the realm of possibility.
True. For me, I think I would be surprised if they taxed Hazard like that. Likely similar to Alexis, who obviously played and started today for Arsenal as well. Because I was strongly considering bringing both of them in. I think I'm a little bit more hesitant to of this.
From a fantasy point, I wouldn't be touching Eden Hazard yet. You know, I think that, is he going to play a full 90 Saturday? I would probably say he probably wouldn't. I think that he'll go back to listen, they're playing Stoke. If Chelsea, what they bring on the field, can't beat a Stoke squad with what they, you know, bring on the pitch, then they're in trouble. Hazard will probably see, you know, a glorified 25-minute stint. And, you know, they play on Wednesday again after that in the Champions League. So I think that is the more prominent, you know, fixture in the next, you know, week from today. So, I mean, from a fantasy perspective, if you're bringing in Eden Hazard, I wouldn't. You know, 10.5 is a big pill to swallow. You're going to have to slather that in peanut butter and shove it down your mouth. but yeah, Hazard for fantasy right now is not someone that you can, you know, readily trust. There's too much, money to be situated in other places, namely the forward ranks, which I'm sure we're going to get into a ton on this show because it's becoming a prominent thing with the FPL universe, and a lot of names are getting a squeeze, and I think we need to start petitioning to have six forwards on our roster.
Yeah. Other players that played a whole lot, Mata played to the half hour mark. Rashford got two goals and then got hurt. Most of their defense stayed in, including Blint, who had starting to be sneaking back into people's teams. Luke Shaw makes an appearance, though, which could be interesting going forward. Scored a what would have been a tidy goal, but then ends up being offside. For City, another thing I want to stop and really discuss, Jesus and Sané both play a significant amount of the match. Jesus stays on the entire match. Is this the beginning of the Aguero rotation, or do we need to kind of see the Premier League match first?
Yeah, I would hope that it isn't, from the perspective of, I think I mentioned it on last week's podcast, that I kind of want both of them to play all the time. This way the ownership kind of, you know, striates across the board. Aguero's ownership is completely spiked right now. So he's over 20%. Jesus is over 12% now. I hate the word rotation, especially when there's so much fantasy goodies for a City squad that just what we saw last week is basically the goods that you can get every week against a weaker opponent. I hate to say that it's rotation time now, because I think with, you know, Champions League here, and then you have another international break coming up soon, and then, you know, league play and the Caribou Cup. Interesting enough, Kev, do you actually know what a Caribou is?
Is it a bull? Because that's their logo.
Yeah, it's actually like a swamp cow.
The more you know. Then to wrap up, West Brom basically played their entire first team except for Matty Phillips. J-Rod, the only notable player that was withdrawn early. They looked good today. Even though they lost to City, they were creating chances a lot more than they had in previous weeks. I don't know if they just, you know, they got scored on in like the second minute. So I don't know if that just meant they had to open up a lot earlier and see if they could chase the match. But a little something worth looking into going forward. A couple players that I was really into last week that did well. Robbie Brady gets a goal in his 30 minutes on the pitch. I'm really liking the look of him. He still leads the league in accurate crosses and is still top five in chances created. Gets an assist of the weekend, although it was kind of sloppy. But hopefully that can turn well. And like I mentioned, Ben Chilwell is a left back that a lot of big clubs have sniffed around a lot of times. Has stayed at Leicester, working behind Christian Fuchs, who now has eye issues. And that's one of those things where you don't know when that's going to be resolved.
Yeah.
We're not huge believers in the Leicester defense.
Nope.
They have had some tough matchups, but they've also, you know, conceded plenty of goals thus far. But he is very good at going forward. So just a name to definitely not bring in now, but just to kind of keep an eye on, because he could end up being significant. At least a lot of people in the non-fantasy football world, the real football world, view very highly. And then Joe Gomez, I thought, was really interesting. Because there was that question of who was going to get the minutes in the Premier League, and it is very quickly becoming apparent that it's Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah, and they kind of offer the almost the same kind of principles when they're on the pitch too. That's the sad point. I wish that, you know, there was a defined role for each of them, and they each could find their way into the Liverpool starting 11. But unfortunately, they play the same spot, so, you know, it sucks. But I wouldn't tell anybody, I wouldn't even tell my best friend to invest in a Liverpool defense right now. And onto your Ben Chilwell, your statement about Ben Chilwell, he is 4.4. He's basically unowned, 0.3%. The next fixtures for Leicester, Liverpool, Bournemouth, West Brom, Swansea are the next three after the Liverpool game this weekend. So anybody looking for a cheeky ad, or, you know, somebody sneaky that they can get in for, you know, a save a penny on a 4.5 defender, Ben Chilwell is the guy. Like you did mention, Christian Fuchs is having an eye issue, and he's iffy for the weekend right now. So Ben Chilwell's a good call, Kev. I like your fantasy prospectus.
Thank you very much. The other main issue facing fantasy players is not just this huge list of players I just rattled off, but also that there are too many elite level strikers right now.
Too many.
You Six. Have Kane scoring. You have Aguero definitely scoring. You have Lukaku. I don't know why I went in this order, because in terms of points, I think it's Aguero, Lukaku, space, Morata, space, Kane. But Kane continues to lead the league in shots on target, which definitely portends good things. Although I think portend naturally has a negative connotation to it. But anyway, the point is there are four very high-priced, currently very tantalizing fantasy options.
Mm-hmm.
What do people do? Because a lot of people had at least one price dump forward, or at least like a mid-level one, like the Firminos and the Vardys. Mm-hmm. Can somebody own all three? Should somebody own all three?
I mean, can you own all three? Sure, but at the behest of your midfield, and you're probably going to have – your bench is probably going to be a complete, you know, throwaway wasteland. You know, just looking at the prices and – ownership. Lukaku is still 55.8% owned. He's 11.7. Harry Kane, 12.5, 28.2% owned. Aguero, 11.6 price tag, 20.2%. Interesting enough on Aguero, he has 490,000 transfers in right now. He's up 11% from end of game last week. 11%.
Wow.
From last week. Morata is 10.2, owned in 17.6% of leagues. Funny thing about Morata is he's being transferred out more than being brought in. 60K in, 100,000 out. That's 1.2% down right now in ownership. Gabriel Jesus is owned in 12.3% at 10.5. He is being brought in 107,000 times this week. 37,000 times out. He is 5% up for the week. Those are the biggest two gains, Aguero and Jesus, for the week. Kane is down 1.1%. Morata, like I mentioned, 1.25%. And Lukaku is down just barely 0.2% for the week. So getting back to your original point, can you own all three? I just wanted to run off some numbers. I know people can read for themselves, but it's better when I tangibly read them out loud and then cognitively, you know, give you some intellect on them. I just use three big words in one sentence. I'm patting myself on the back. So basically the conundrum here is, and then you have Firmino in this group, because I think that he still qualifies even at his discounted price tag at 8.7, 29.6% owned. He's being transferred out a lot this week. He has 165,000 transfers out, but I think that's a good thing, because I think that 8.7 price tag allows you to, you know, shift around the – we'll call it the big five plus one with Morata, Aguero, Jesus, Kane, and Lukaku. Yes, you can get all three in. You can have any grouping of the three. I think that you probably can't be wrong. The only problem is that all six of these guys are – involved in Champions League. So that involves a rotational trans point of, okay, well, if I'm going with a big ticket item like Aguero, like a Harry Kane, like a Morata, like a Lukaku, like, you know, like a Jesus, if they don't play, your options after that, because you basically have front loaded your front line so much that you're basically investing between 30 and 32% of your, you know, your salary based on who you choose on those three players. And you're probably, if you're rostering any of these guys, they're 8.7 and above, you're basically playing them. You're not going to sit an 8.7 player every week because you think that his matchup is bad. I think that's a waste of money. I would rather punt down and then and increase my value in midfield. But to have 30% of your lineup invested in those guys and then run the risk of them having a rotational risk and you basically sitting on a blank because the person you're bringing in is, you know, Andy King from Leicester, because you needed a 4.4 midfielder to fill in here. You know, that's not good fantasy there. I mean, I've always been a big proponent. We've mentioned it all the time. Always have one useful member on your bench. I know it's sometimes a waste of money and people laugh at it, and it's not really a gaffe, but you need one useful member on your bench, whether it be a defender with, you know, intrinsic clean sheet value, whether it be a midfielder with some kind of, you know, a matchup slash, or he's been doing something, but his price tag is moderately, you know, like in there, so I can probably get some investment back, like a Pascal Gross or, you know, a Matt Ritchie, somebody in that, you know, that 6.0 and below range for midfielders, and, you know, 5.0 and below for defenders. But onto the forwards, listen, there's no wrong answer here. I think we've said this a couple times in the podcast this week. We are on week six now. You know, there's no wrong answers in the build up for forwards. If you want to, you want Firmino, Morata, Aguero, sure. If you want Firmino, Kane, and Lukaku, sure. If you want Morata, Lukaku, and Kane, go absolutely go crazy. It's just that the rest of your team is going to be, you know, hindered because of that. You're not going to be able to have that fourth midfielder with, you know, decent returns. But I actually want to get into that after we talk about the forwards, about the basically the dearth of talent below 8.3 and above. Between 8.3 and 6 million, how there's just zero midfielders of value in there that you probably are rostering. I think that's probably a component of, you know, the ownership levels of these players, the returns that the players are giving, and the prices that forwards are giving. Because I don't think anybody is investing in there. I mean, nobody's giving you decent returns at that value point. But you know, that's another story in a couple minutes. But for the forwards, Do whatever makes you feel comfortable. Do whatever gets your best 11, your best 15 on your team, because bench does matter. I know it doesn't matter yet because nobody's using their crisps yet. And you know, just if anybody hasn't wildcarded yet and you're looking at it and you're tinkering around, and you know, it does look sexier when you can put, you know, six big names on your team and then, you know, piece it together with, you know, crazy glue and hope for the best.
Yeah. I definitely can see where you're coming from there. My concern, and you kind of touched on it with you always want to have one useful piece on the bench, is that, I mean, if you put in Kane, Lukaku, and Aguero, right, they're all 11.5 plus. Yeah,
it's $35 million.
Yeah, that is, you know, out of 100, that's 35% of your budget. Yeah. For those playing at home, which is an incredible amount to spend.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, Kev, if you even divulge into that further, if you're starting three forwards every week, you're basically going to be sitting two defenders or two midfielders and one defender and a goalie. So if you get minimums for a defender and a goalie, that's $8 million, and then a second defender at say four or five, that's 12.5 plus a midfielder. We'll say the average midfielder is that's useless is 4.5. That's 17 million. That's 17% of your roster that's on your bench automatically. That's just at the minimum. And then you have 35% of that invested in three forwards. So, I mean, yes, you're trying to subtract that from 100, but you automatically are taking between 17 and 19% off the top, because you have to have a backup goal. You have to have defenders that aren't going to play. You're going to have a midfielders that aren't play. So you're automatically subtracting it. So basically that 35 million that you're investing is basically in 82 million. Because you basically have to have bench players, and if you're investing in the minimum, that's where your jumping off point is at that 82, 83 million.
True. It'll be interesting to see how people react to this. If Kane scores at the weekend against West Ham, it is going to make things a lot more difficult for a lot of people, because I think it looks like Aguero will jump Kane in ownership.
Yeah.
By the weekend. So somehow the
it's close. It's going to be close if he catches him. It's still 8% between the two. That's 8% of five million. That's a lot. That's 400,000 more transfers.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. We kind of touched a little bit on some guys that have changed price there, but who else can be counted among their ranks this week?
On the price ups, it's slow. Like every other midweek, you know, game week. Nicolas Otamendi has gone up. Jamal Lascelles for Newcastle has gone up. That's it for the defenders. Otamendi had a goal over the weekend. City basically ran roughshod over their opponent, and Otamendi looks like a shiny toy because he scored. His point return is better. Everybody's looking for a Man City investment. I'd still look at Mendy there if you're looking at a Man City defender, only because he's involved in the play a little bit more. His assist rate and his shots and his crosses are more of a boon to your fantasy here, because I think that he'll be involved in the build-up more than Otamendi is. Lascelles has goals in, I believe, two consecutive games. Yeah, back-to-back goals in games. Price at 4.6 now. Ownership is going up a little bit, 6.9%. He's being brought in a lot because of his price tag. Newcastle does have a favorable fixture this week in Brighton. It's the highlight game of the week, I guess we'll call it, you know, because they play all by themselves on Sunday. So Brighton isn't the most offensive team, so I think investing in a Newcastle defender, not really sure it's Lascelles. I think that if you didn't own him, you missed on his ownership now. I don't think I can't foresee him getting 3 goals in 3 consecutive games. I can't remember the last time a defender has done that. So that'd be a good, you know, lottery ticket if you wanted to bet on something over abroad.
Yeah. Also, Lascelles has never scored more than 3 goals in a season.
There you go. See, he's never done it. It's impossible. Kevin DeVries just said it's impossible. Through the midfield, Pascal Gross has gone up. Assists, he's basically anything that Brighton does, he's involved with. They don't do much, so the fantasy returns are limited there because he's not really a goal scorer, but he's a facilitator. He's basically like a poor man's poor man, Matt Ritchie, I guess. So I think he's like the he's probably comparable to Matt Ritchie. I wouldn't say call him a double poor man, Matt Ritchie. He's probably like a poor man's David Silva. How's that? also on the midfield, Mohamed Salah has gone up. I think people are still feeling the need to own a Liverpool midfielder. I think that he is the shiniest star because I don't think Coutinho has given enough return with goals and assists and minutes yet. I think that'll change eventually when Coutinho actually does get on the score sheet and the tally sheet. Also on the up, David Silva, looking like he did, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe playing at 90% of what he used to be. But 90% David Silva with the Man City offense that's around them and the Crystal Palace defense this week, it's going to be a bad game. Sergio Aguero has gone up twice in this week. If you didn't know that Aguero is going to go up this much, you're stupid. He may go up again if the transfers pick up again. He needs to go up probably another 150,000, which is definitely doable, and he's probably going to go up again, which is just sick. Roberto Firmino has gone up, which is completely weird because he's gone up so much, but he's been transferred out so much, so it's kind of like robbing Peter to pay Paul. I think this brings into the point where we just got finished discussing the forwards that are, you know, everybody's, you know, flipping an 8-7 Firmino and going to an 11.5, you know, Aguero or a 10.2 Morata or, you know, some other forward that's big priced and then sacrificing somewhere else. I think Firmino is still a great buy at 8.7. He didn't play yesterday. I don't believe he did. Yeah, he didn't play. So, and on the last forwards, Gabriel Jesus has gone up as well. Everybody's buying in the Man City, you know, the wine right now, I guess. They're drinking it. I'm going to ask you this, Kev. Do you think Gabriel Jesus right now is an actual differential for Man City?
Literally, yes. Mm-hmm. But first of all, we already know that not to trust Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, I know.
He's just a horrible manager for fantasy owners. And
he still owes me $5.
And much as I'd like to assume that Jesus is now going to get the start at the weekend, I just don't know how he can keep doing this. Because if one of them gets hurt, the other one's going to have to play every match because there is no third option.
What do you mean? They got Radio Raheem.
He's not a forward.
I'm kidding.
But yeah, so things could get really rough really fast for them unless they're planning on buying somebody in January, which I guess is possible. But yeah. I right now, if I didn't own Jesus, I would not be buying. Yeah, I'd at least want to see what happens in the Premier League this weekend, make sure he gets the start before buying in. I mean, it's definitely an interesting option because you read the numbers out earlier. So many people are switching to Aguero. It could be a very savvy move. I'm just not ballsy enough to make it because I'm really concerned he won't get the start. Also worth noting for City, they played all of their potential wingers.
Yeah,
I guess save De Bruyne, but they played Sané, Sterling, and Bernardo Silva today. And I just largely don't know what Pep Guardiola is doing, and I guess that's the most concerning part for me.
He's going balls to the wall. That's what Pep Guardiola's style is. I'm going balls to the wall.
All of his pedals to the metals.
Yeah, all the metals to the pedals. Jesus for me is a weird thing. He played a full 90 today. They have Crystal Palace on Saturday. Then they have Shakhtar on Tuesday. Tuesday. They play on Tuesday. And then they have Chelsea the following weekend. So the people that are buying into the Man City, you know, fantasy train right now with the Aguero transfers in, look at the Otamendi love. You know, Kevin De Bruyne is being brought back in from his early season, you know, ownership and then drops, and then now he's being brought back in. David Silva's getting a lot of love. Those three games are pivotal here because everyone's just looking at Aguero and be like, oh, he's playing Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace is awful. But, you know, there's a bigger picture here because, you know, City has to play Shakhtar midweek next week. And then they have Chelsea the following week, who is no joke. I know Aguero has a good history scoring against Chelsea. He's got 10 goals in 15 career games with 3 assists. So, wow. It's a great stat considering that Aguero, you know, that Chelsea has been a clean sheet, you know, they're pretty a good defensive team, that Aguero has 10 goals and 3 assists in 15 career matches. But like there's a bigger picture here. Yeah, I think a lot of people are bringing in Aguero that don't, you know, they still have their wild card is basically what I'm saying. I think that people are bringing in Aguero for a direct swap that, you know, they're probably sacrificing Kane or sacrificing Lukaku and bringing in Aguero trying to, you know, score money in the bank. This is just speculation. And then they still have their wild card in their hand, and then next week they'll wild card and go back to go get a team in that'll, you know, look like a dominant thing, because after this week, you know, they'll have seen the Shakhtar game, and then there's no Champions League game for a few weeks, and then it's basically just straight weekend play for a while. So I mean, yeah, I mean, you gotta own a City. You gotta own a City striker right now.
You think? You know, like regardless.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think that, you know, your involvement in their percentage of how it's growing between Aguero and Jesus. You know, it's 33% ownership between the two of them. That put them second behind Lukaku at 56%. So I mean, I'm glumping them together. I know they're individuals. I know they didn't morph out of each other, and I know they're not conjoined twins and they're goal scoring wunderkids, but they're not. But Aguero's ownership right now, the way it's going up and the way that people are jumping on him, is just crazy. I'm trying to remember the number. I believe it was only it was a low number of last week's. You know, Aguero blew up last week, and the people who were in the top 1,000 last week, there was a low ownership rate for Sergio Aguero. I believe it was like right around like 10% of people in the top 1,000 only owned Sergio Aguero. So I think that a lot of the people who are, you know, didn't have Aguero last week are now buying in. So that number is spiking. And the people who weren't doing so well had Aguero and now are doing well. So it's basically the people that were ahead have been caught because of Sergio Aguero. So now the people that don't have Sergio Aguero are bringing in Sergio Aguero just to keep up. This is always this is basically what Sergio Aguero does every single year. He is the
great
most
equalizer.
He is the boomer bust. You know, he's basically, I'll equate him to this. Remember the Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bugs Bunny's pitching and then the guy goes out and chops a tree down and he uses a tree as a baseball bat?
Yeah.
Sergio Aguero is that guy with that big tree as a baseball bat. He basically is the boomer bust kind of fantasy player, and there's only one other player in the game that has that ability, and we haven't seen it yet. It's Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
But Sergio Aguero is a damned if you do, damned if you don't fantasy option. And the train started last week. So people who have missed the bus, they're starting now. So now they have 32 weeks to ride the Sergio Aguero wagon and work off of that, because his price, I believe, is never going to go below where it is right now at 11.5. I mean, last year where he ended at what, 13 change last year?
Oh, snap, did he?
Man. Or was that 2 years ago?
It might have been 2 years ago. I think last year it was Kane that.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, 13.3.
Yeah.
He ended last year. 12.7 last year, 13.3 the year before, 12.9 the year before. So at 11.5, I mean, if you're staring at Sergio Aguero and you've played this game for multiple seasons, like me and Kevin both have, how are you not looking at this as a complete, you know, bargain? 11.5 for Sergio Aguero, knowing that at the end of the year he's going to get you 20 goals and basically score in the top 3 to 4, you know, fantasy strikers.
The way you're speaking, are you of the mindset that if you bring in Aguero now, you just don't touch him unless he gets hurt?
I think the only time you touch him is if you are positive he's going to be completely rotated when City gets into the, you know, the round of 16. But yeah, I think Sergio Aguero is a must own player, and his ownership right now at 20.2%, and his price is 11.6. I mean, that's the cheapest he's been in, you know, like 3 years, 4 years, 4 years, literally 4 years.
Yeah. That's a great point. All right. We finished prices, correct?
Oh, I did price ups. Price downs, I'll run through them real quick. I hand pack a little bit. Leighton Baines has gone down. There's no reason to own a Leicester player. I'm sorry, Everton player. They're not giving any kind of returns or clean sheet value, and he's not doing anything with set pieces, so Leighton Baines is on the out. I'll group these defenders as a group. Liverpool defenders, no thank you. Crystal Palace defenders, no thank you. Everybody's jumping off the Southampton useless defender train. You know, Stevens, Target, basically guys that are, you shouldn't own but are basically Southampton dumps. You should look elsewhere. Mesut Ozil, injured, and price and no returns equals your price is going down. Willian has gone down. I think it's probably because everybody's dumping because the Hazard is actually starting to, you know, accumulate minutes. Gylfi Sigurdsson, 8.3. You know, there's nothing in Everton right now that I'm buying, and there's nothing in Arsenal that I'm believing or buying, unless you want to believe in maybe a Kolasinac, but that's it. Paul Pogba has gone down again. That's 8.1. This is probably the last time he'll go down. He was at 8.3, so he's gone down 2 pennies. So if you're looking to be, you know, stay a week ahead of the curve, he'll probably – I'm not going to say – have they given a timetable for his return yet, Kev? I have. If he did, no, it did. I haven't seen it.
There were many guesses. People were saying 10 to 12 weeks. And then they asked Mourinho, and he said that they don't even internally have a timetable yet, so that anybody guessing is wrong. So. But it is weeks to months.
All right. Well, I saw a video of him dancing. So it was mostly arm movement, so maybe some gyrations. And then on the forwards, Lacazette has gone down. I just said I'm not buying Arsenal, I'm not buying Everton. They're not doing anything. Arsenal was pushed to the limit today by Doncaster. So, yeah, okay. Chicharito, no goals in 3 games. Punt. Go spend your money more wisely on a more offensive scoring team than West Ham. And then Benteke is gone down. Yeah, it's Crystal Palace. They still have 0 goals in the Premier League. They got their first goal in the Caribou Cup the other day. So they're off the schneid.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for all that, Rob. We'll take a quick break and be back with Start Sits.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, and we are back to talk to you about the players that we like this week, the ones we don't like this week, the ones we'd start, the ones we'd sit. What are the other ones? The ins and outs?
The ups and downs, the...
Yep.
The yays and nays.
Ooh. Yeah. And the eyes have it.
They hit it or quit it.
That's not bad. As long as people know the original context.
I'd hit that.
No, I'm quitting that. Nah, son. For me, for forwards, kind of following your line of thinking there, I'm just going to continue following Chalk with a little stat for you guys. That both Aguero and Kane are at least 10% lower than their career averages for shot accuracy. So not only is Aguero already catching up, but he still has catching up to do. So another performance like that could be in the works. And Kane hasn't really had that big performance yet, although he did have the 2 goals a couple weeks ago. But that could also come back to the mean very, very quickly and very severely. I'm so hesitant on Joselu because the shots have stayed there. He missed a lot of opportunities last weekend, and I'm torn between... it's good that he's getting chances created around him and sometimes for him directly, But man, is his finishing is a, you got to put a little question mark on it already. Hopefully he turns it around and then he'll be back in my good graces. But for now, he gets a little question mark. In midfield, I mentioned earlier, Robbie Brady scored midweek, only played 30 minutes, so he should be well rested. Again, as I mentioned, still leads the league in accurate crosses and chances created. Top five in chances created. You mentioned the two other guys in his price bracket earlier, and I was interested to see who you would rather have. If you didn't own any of them and you were going to buy one, would you rather have Robbie Brady, Matt Ritchie, or Pascal Gross?
I think Pascal Gross is too limited by what Brighton can do offensively. We've seen it in fantasy years previous where it's good to have he's not Gylfi. He's like, I'm going to compare him to Gylfi Sigurdsson. Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Oh, and then he's Swan. Like so involved in everything they do.
He's so involved in everything, but I don't think that they do enough. I think Swansea had more going for them offensively. Tomar Hemed is not the Swansea strikers from the years past.
He's not Llorente.
He's not Llorente. Boney. He's not Boney.
Even Andre Ayew. The year he was.
Yeah, I think he's limited by that. I think Ritchie has a little bit more of intrinsic value around him. I think that Newcastle are starting to come around. They're showing that, you know, what they showed last year in the Championship League. And defensively, I think they're a stout team. I like Burnley, but I think Burnley and Robbie Brady fall closer to what Pascal Gross is than what Matt Ritchie is.
Mm. And Matt Ritchie, for those that don't know, 4 assists in his first 5 matches already.
Yeah.
The other player I want to note, he may still be missing out through injury, although he did train, is Mesut Ozil. No player with the same or more chances created is without assists, and he still has 0. The ones in front of him have 3, 4, and 5.
Wow.
And he's at 0. So when he plays, if Alexis is back, if Lacazette can get going, those Ozil stats should come back. Last season was actually disappointing. And the final result was not that dissimilar from the underlying stats. This year they are. And in theory, he should also have a big match coming sometime soon. In defense, you and I are both leaning on the defensive train of Newcastle right now. 2 consecutive clean sheets before this weekend. Kieran Clark is cheaper than Lascelles. We already mentioned that Lascelles is going to be way overbought on because of his 2 goals. Again, never scored more than 3 in a season in any level of his career.
That's not true. That's not true. He played PAL League in when he was 11. Uh-huh. He had 41 goals.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to say like after prom or something like that. So I'm doing the zag when everybody else is doing the zig. I'm going with Kieran Clark here. At 4.5, has gotten just as many bonus points as Lascelles, even without scoring the goals, which is pretty impressive. This week, he's coming up against Pascal Gross and that Brighton attack that are so ineffective in front of goal right now. Currently, bottom 5 in goals scored.
Wow.
So this could really be the week that they solidify themselves. Also, you're going to get a bonus start from me, which is going to be Lucas Fabianski. The clean sheet against Tottenham last week gives him 3 on the season already, leads the league in saves with 24. All of a sudden, he's kind of looking like a real option again. You know, we've talked in the past, every year there's a keeper that just kind of comes out of nowhere, and you got to buy on early. And for me, I had Ben Foster. Their upcoming matches look awful. A lot of people had Fraser Forster. Their match this weekend against United looks really scary. Theirs not as bad the next few weeks. But I personally, and we'll get into this more later with my team, I swapped over to Fabianski and Clark at the back. Those are I had 2 free transfers this week, and I used them at the back to facilitate forward stuff moving forward. Again, we'll get more to that in my team. But yeah, you get a bonus goalkeeper start from me this week. Who you got for the folks, Rob?
I'll start on defense. I think this guy is a little bit being overlooked. I know it's hard to overlook the guy who was in the top 2 in fantasy defender scoring last year, and that's Gary Cahill. At 6.3, he's gone down in price twice because he's missed some games. He's owned in 4.1% of leagues. Chelsea plays Stoke this week. And there is no David Luiz, who's owned in 20.5% of leagues. I think everybody who owns Alonso, there's a lot of you, it's 21% of you, is it's a good investment. I like Alonso. But he's so goal and clean sheet driven that I think there's you know, the 7.1 price tag and the 0.8 difference in price between him and Cahill isn't really that big of a, you know, that big of a gap that, all right, if he doesn't score a goal, guess what? He's going to be tied with Cahill and you're saving the money. So at the end of the year, they're probably going to be close as long as, you know, Alonso doesn't score, you know, 10 goals. Oh, and an interesting fact about Cahill. Eight times last year when Chelsea had a clean sheet, he was in the bonus. So there you go.
Ooh, them bonus points, they're where it's at.
Yeah, yeah. In the midfield, I mentioned it before. For me, the end of the midfield, you know, useful midfielders is 8.3, and that's where David Silva currently resides. At 16% ownership, I'm in love with David Silva right now. I like the new haircut. It's shiny and new. I still it's funny. It was three or four times when I watched the match over the past weekend. I was looking at it. And I'm like, wait, who's that guy running around with the ball? Oh, it's David Silva. Yeah. I literally did that three or four times.
You forget it constantly. Me too, man. It's so strange. He had such iconic flowing locks.
Yeah, and it's weird. I get that same feeling. Do you ever get this feeling? Do you ever drive on a road that you drive on all the time, and you like see something? You're like, where the hell am I? And like you're literally on the same road that you drive like every single day. You're like, where the hell am I? Matt David Silva is that guy.
It's like the opposite of deja vu, like forgetting somewhere you've already been instead of thinking you've already been somewhere.
100%. And I want to mention this again. So everybody who's listening to this podcast, go on the official page. Bring up the midfielder price and do it by pricing. Name one midfielder between 8.3 and 5.9, which is Matt Ritchie, that you'd want to own on your team and actually start and be like, yeah, I'm going to go with this guy. That's a big difference. That's 2.4 million in price between David Silva at 8.3, and everybody above him is useful. You got the Mkhitaryans, Eriksens, Alis, you know, everybody above that is useful, you know. And then there's a big gap between David Silva and Matt Ritchie at 5.9. You know, yes, you could probably make an argument for some guys in there, but I'm going to tell you you're completely wrong because I know more. So on to the forwards. I'm going with Firmino because I think that people are just completely disregarding him. And he's basically – he's the sixth celloist in a quintet of the forwards. His price is cheaper than everybody else's, so I think he's getting overlooked. He didn't play midweek, so I think he gets a full 90. Liverpool do have a winnable match this week, and they are playing at Leicester. There's going to be goals in this game. Liverpool can't stop him. Leicester is not the greatest, you know, woven knitted blanket of, you know, goodness from grandma for defense. So Firmino is my guy only because he's being transferred out more than he is being brought in. And that screams differential for me. And at 8.7, I'm buying it all day. On to my sits. My forward. Anybody not mentioned in this podcast as part of the top six is a complete sit and you shouldn't own them. That includes Kane, Lukaku, Aguero, Morata, Firmino, and Jesus. If you don't own three of those guys, I don't know what you're doing in this game. Sure, you can argue. I know that, Jamie Vardy. You said Jamie Vardy was good. Yeah, I did it for 1 week. It was a gamble. I lost. Cool. I'm back on the train now. In midfield, he had two goals today. But when's the last time Leroy Sané did something good at 8.2 in your fantasy team? He's not going to do it this week because I don't think he plays. On defense, so Southampton defenders. Playing against United at home, Southampton, the Saints. I don't like it. Ryan Bertrand owned at 13.5, Yoshida 2.5, Cedric 10.7. It's a bad investment, and I'll even throw Virgil van Dijk, who's gone up 0.4% in ownership. He's now at 1.3%. This is not the week to get cheeky and bring in a Southampton defender. United are not going to be, you know, they're not going to be nice to the Saints this week.
For me, the forward I'm sitting is got to be Lacazette. He's outside the top 10 in shots on target, already has three blanks, has never gotten more than 6 points, even in those games where he's scored, which is not great, to be honest. My midfielder that I'm not liking anymore is Dele Alli. I know he's scared in the Carabao Cup, but he did play 90 minutes there. And just statistically, he just is not up there with, like, Eriksen. Or, like you mentioned, I also love David Silva. I've had him in my team for a while now. Or, like, Mkhitaryan is also in that eights area. Dele Alli just is not performing at the level of the others. But he's still 32.4% owned. Can he still pop up with random goals? Of course. But right now, you probably need better for your money. Or you could drop down to that second tier that Rob was talking about, down there in six and below, and all of a sudden you might be able to do that forward listing we were talking about earlier. If you wanted to go with Aguero, Lukaku, and Morata or some such. But yeah, I think Dele Alli at 32.4% owned, it's just too high. You know, he's still a decent player. He has not looked great this season thus far. But yeah, I'm out on Dele Alli right now. You mentioned Southampton defenders. I am on board with that this week. Next week, swap all of your Bertrands to Cedrics, because Cedric has the second most crosses from the right wing in the Premier League right now. Mm-hmm. Bertrand does not, although he does play on the left, obviously. But if you follow our advice and you want to bring in a Newcastle defender, Newcastle and Southampton actually pair pretty well over the next five matches. Helps you avoid both Liverpool and Manchester United, which is a nice little bonus there. But yeah, the defenders I'm long-term not a fan of anymore is West Brom, because not only are you going to start seeing rotation now that Gibbs has come into the fore, now that Niom missed last week, all of a sudden you're going to have McCauley coming back in, which could cause problems for Hagazi. And the matchups are bad. So all of a sudden, West Brom defenders and goalkeepers, I'm on the outs with, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree with West Brom. They're always like a shaky investment anyway. And then you start seeing like injury news and guys coming back into the fold, and then them start getting shaky. Yeah, it's. I'm not saying start bailing water on the ship of known as West Brom, but yeah.
But kind of.
Yeah, but kind of.
All right. Rob, at one point you were talking about enacting your wild card this week. Did that happen?
Yes, it cool. did happen. It is currently here. I am currently soaking up every price change that I possibly can and wrapping them into my roster. So
cool. What are you thinking? Who are you looking at? Who are you? What's hip and what's happening?
Well, the funny thing is, I think I talked to you the day I think I told you that I did my wild card, and I sent you a draft of it. I had two Newcastle and two Swansea defenders,
yeah.
And I may or may not have been indulging myself in spirits at that time. Yeah, I'm going to say
you're,
I was drunk.
So you're not sticking with that?
No, I have currently punted off of that. So in goal, I have Ben Foster and Rob Elliott. On defense, I still have one Newcastle and one Swansea. I can't quit them. So I have Kieran Clark and Frederico Fernandez on defense. I pair them with Ben Davis, Nicolas Otamendi. And I just put him in when we were talking about this podcast. I put in Ben Chilwell as well at 4.4. So I'm kind of liking it. I think that his involvement this week could lead to better things down the road. And at 4.4, he's not going to play for me anyway. He's my fifth defender, and I like the gamble at 4.4, especially with Leicester's upcoming. They have a couple groups of good games that are in a row. You know, it's after this week. It's Bournemouth, West Brom, Swansea, and then they play Everton, and then it goes Stoke, and then you're basically into the new year.
Yeah, and Everton aren't really scoring goals either.
So. No. The Toffees are stale. So in midfield,
ooh, that is such a great aside. The Toffees are stale.
There you go. And nice, man. Yeah, so in midfield, I've gone the route of one punt midfielder, only because I don't need him. I won't ever need him. If I have more than two subs, my team's in trouble anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. So basically, if Chilwell and King are my two punts, I'm fine with that. Andy King is my 4.4 punt. He's the cheapest midfielder I could find that actually does something relevant in a fantasy game. I pair him up with Matt Ritchie at 5.9, David Silva, Christian Eriksen, and Henrik Mkhitaryan across the middle. I basically have gone for playmakers over goal scorers in my midfield. I like the assist to goal ratio better than the goals to assist ratio, I guess. You know, the guys above Mkhitaryan and Silva, you know, I'm not really buying any Arsenal players, so Sanchez is out. Hazard is not even an option yet at 10.5. I've soured on Dele Alli being consistently good at scoring goals and doing things from a fantasy perspective. I'm sure he's going to keep doing things, you know, in the Champions League and the Cup or whatever you want to call it. So Eriksen's my guy, my high-priced midfielder. And then my forwards. This is the strain of contention on my team. I've flip-flopped a lot. I'm currently sitting on Firmino, Alvaro Morata, and Sergio Aguero. There's no guarantees I'm going to sit on that. I have 0.7 in the bank, so I can shift around a little bit. But yeah, I'm content on going with a 4-3-3 Otamendi and Davis have decent enough matchups. Clark and Fernandez have okay matchups, considering their lower level team. So I'm fine riding that wave of emotion that defenders can give you. So this is the draft I have right in front of me. This is probably the sixth or seventh draft that I've had. I have three of the six forwards. That's the important thing. Now piecing the right ones together is the hard part.
Yeah. I love where you're coming from with your midfield. It's very similar to mine. When I did my wild card, which 2 weeks ago, maybe now? 1 week ago? I did it over the international
break.
That's eons ago. What I did when I brought in Brady, Silva, and Eriksen, I had Mkhitaryan from the start of the year, was I literally took the four highest people on the chances created list.
There you go.
And was just like, let's see what happens. And that has gone very well since. Although Mkhitaryan slowed with the assists. Goals instead for some reason. I guess goal singular. But yeah, Brady kicking the assists. Obviously, Silva got two last week. Tottenham a little disappointing, but Eriksen got one the week before. So yeah, that's definitely going to be interesting to see where that goes. What was your front line?
Firmino, Morata, Aguero.
Yep, mine is Firmino, Morata, and Lukaku at the moment. So I guess I don't really have to tell you my team because I pretty much just went over it. Oh, and as I mentioned before, brought in Kieran Clark for Alan Neom, who is now no longer a guaranteed starter, and then Fabianski and for Ben Foster, which is me entirely, as you said, getting rid of the baggies from my team. Who are you looking at for captain options? Obviously, you kind of get your pick of the litter there since you're on your wild card.
I mean, there's one reason and one reason only you roster Sergio Aguero, and it's the captain against Crystal Palace at home.
Yeah, always captain Aguero.
Yeah, I mean, there's good options. You know, the only thing that worries me about Morata is we saw what Stoke did to United a couple weeks ago. They held them pretty tight in check and held them. They did score two goals, but you know, it doesn't look like it's a multiple game for Morata, and he hasn't exuded that capability that he's going to be on a multiple weeks. You know, like an Aguero, Firmino could be the lazy eyed pick, I guess. You know, and I don't think I'd captain a midfielder. So it's looking like Aguero. If you own Aguero, this is the public service announcement that if you own Aguero, always captain Aguero.
Yeah, not a bad strategy at all there. Also, one last parting shot before we get out of here, worth noting, and I forgot to bring up earlier that your boy Dominic Calvert-Lewin did score for Everton today.
Woo-hoo!
No thoughts on investing in him, or is he more of a DFS guy for you?
He's a DLC. He's the DLC. Or DCL, whatever his name is. I'm dyslexic, so it doesn't make a difference. But yeah, he's definitely a DFS option. Everton is, they're still trying to figure out what pieces fit. You know, they're like an 11-piece puzzle, and they have all the pieces. They just don't have the right, you know, they're looking for that one, you know, like that one cornerstone, I guess, to break the mold and put them in the right direction. I think they have the talent there. They just don't have the, you know,
the striker. They're missing the striker.
Yeah, they don't have the wear. Sandro's not the guy. I don't think Sandro is more like the Islam Slimani than the Vardy, you know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But that'll do it for us today. So, Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You can find me on Twitter at FPL_MNOP. Or you can find my writings and stylings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevroff on Twitter. You can find my writings over at Goal.com. Also doing things every now and again over at TheEaglesBeak.com. And we also host shows for Fantrax and VIPBet.com. So be sure to check both of those out if you want to hear our DFS takes, like the Dominic Calvert-Lewin one that Rob just provided for you there. Best of luck to your teams this weekend, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.